Working Cows Podcast, episode 59, bonus episode.
Welcome to the podcast that gives producers a platform to discuss and share paradigm-challenging practices. Practices that have increased the effectiveness of their operation and the joy that their families have received from this lifestyle.
Everybody, it's Clay Conry here with another bonus episode, partnering with the South Dakota Grassland Coalition to interview the featured producers for their 2018 South Dakota Grassland Planner. Getting back to this project after a few months off. I'm going to try and get them all knocked out here between now and the end of the year. Might not get it all done, but I'm going to try real hard. Today on the show, I'm talking to Kyle Schell. Kyle was a featured producer in May of 2018, and they were dealing with some drought issues at that time when the video was shot, so I'm excited to talk to Kyle about how they handled some of those drought issues and how maybe they're still handling some of those drought issues. So, Kyle, thanks for joining me today on the Working Cows Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You were the featured producer for May for the South Dakota Grassland Coalition's Our Amazing Grasslands videos, and really interesting video there about your family's operation. And your dad mentions in the opening of that video that your grandpa farmed that land. I think it was your grandpa that farmed that land for a while to keep the operation going. Was that related to the 1980s, or what was that related to?
Yeah, you know, there's still some ground that's tilled on that we produce hay on it. But I think the more the point he was getting to is the farming was, a practice that was tried to make that, you know, my ancestors tried to make as a economical decision. And it wasn't working on this marginal ground. So that's why we go back to running livestock on it, trying to make it work financially a little better that way. So,
sure. And what are some of the farming practices that you guys are still putting into play today?
Well, we're all no-till. We haven't tilled since I've been a part of the operation at all. And then we've been using some cover crop stuff and rotational crop rotation, trying to keep some soil health aspects in mind, trying to increase organic matter on the ground and just improve the soil.
Have you guys had the opportunity to test any of that organic matter or see what kind of increase you're able to produce?
So I took a sample a couple of years ago, and I've got those results, and I've talked to some my soil health friends, and they said that you probably won't see a lot of changes over a few years, but I want to kind of keep like maybe every 5 years, just kind of monitor that. So I got a kind of a baseline is all I've got a couple of years ago, and I haven't checked it again to see if there's been any changes.
That's a good idea, though, to keep that. I mean, that's we talked a lot about here on the Working Cows podcast recently about the 1% increase in organic matter equals 20,000 gallons per acre of water holding capacity. And if we can increase our ability to hold on to some water, that helps with another thing that you guys have faced recently, which is some drought. You guys were facing some drought in 2017 when the video was taken, and then in 2018 we were quite a bit more wet in western South Dakota than we were in 2017. So how was 2018 different from 2017 in your guys' operation?
Well, you said it. The moisture was so much better this year than it was a year ago, and we did have we did grow quite a bit of grass and made quite a bit of hay to get into this winter. But I tell you, starting out this spring, it was a little bleak looking. We decided, since we grazed our grass off as short as we did last year, we were really concerned about giving all of our pastures enough rest this year. So So I know last year we ended up taking some cows out onto a separate lease on in a different part of the, you know, north of the ranch ways. We did the same thing again this year, took another 100 cows out and added a digital lease. So just to kind of rest our pastures a little bit more and allow these things to allow this stuff to recover a little bit. And boy, did it ever. I think it was a really good call. It's a combination of getting wet and the lighter stocking rates really helped our pastures drastically, and things really turned around and just looked really good around.
You mentioned stocking rate, and so what are kind of your pasture makeups? What is the about the size of your pastures? How are you guys managing the length of time in each pasture and some of those things?
We've got a couple of different. So I-90 runs right through the middle of our ranch, so I've got a couple different areas of the ranch, and I've got a really nice rotational grazing system started, and I've been improving on it every year, I guess, but making a few more pastures. But I suppose those paddock sizes on that side, there's probably about 10 to 15 paddocks in that part of the ranch, and I'm thinking they're around between 150 and 200 acres a piece, so we're kind of rotating. Then we're moving about anywhere between 100 and 200 cows through that system. So kind of you got to do the math every time, or I'm getting to the point where I can kind of see my grass and see what's going on, but I double check my math all the time on it. And if I've got 100 cows this year, I am on a 100 acre pasture, you know, I try to set my stocking rate accordingly and then monitor my grass and make sure I'm not getting mixed. Kind of happened a lot last year.
Yeah, we talked last night on the phone, and I mentioned that I heard an old boy at the coffee shop say, you know, the reason the country looks so green this year is because there was nothing yellow left to hide it from last year. And I think you guys were in that same boat, I think.
So then on that same little rotational system I got there, one thing we did do this year is put in some more water system. We put in 3 miles of pipeline and 4 more tanks, and so now I've got, and that was kind of the biggest piece of that paddock, so now I'm going to start cutting that down into smaller pieces too, and try to increase my distribution, do some different things that way too. And I'm really looking forward to using that system next year.
Yeah, that sounds really good. How much rest are those paddocks getting as you come out of them? How long are you out of there before you come back again? You know, are you able to graze them more than one time in a growing season, or is it one and done? How does that look for you guys?
For the most part, we just try to graze the pastures one time per year. Every once in a while, if things like some of those paddocks. When I first turn out in the spring, I try to zip through them just as quick as I can, you know, just kind of just nip the tops of all of them, and then, or at least like the first three of that paddock, and then sometimes I'll come back into those towards the end of the summer, and so they've rested for 45 to 60 days, so they're fully recovered. They were just kind of top grazed anyway, and then they're fully recovered, and it you don't hardly know. It's just kind of free grazing that first little grazing. I don't think you take hardly anything out of the plant, then you get back in. But for the most part, in general, it's just once over type of system.
Yeah, sounds real good. And you mentioned the other side of the interstate. Is the other side a different, quite a bit different, or is it similar in the way that it's broke up?
It's a little different. There, I got one great big pasture out there, and that's kind of I use for my winter ground a lot of the time. So that thing it's pretty much only dormant grazed. I just got into it this time of year. Now, you know, first of November is about when I go into that pasture. So it's pretty well done growing for the year, and then I will come out of that in like first April. So it's a pretty long season, but it's all kind of dormant grazing. And then in the summertime, I don't go on it at all. So I just stockpile grass all year long on it. And then and it works out pretty nice. The reason it's so big is, and it's on my list of things to do, is to I need to get some water development out on it. It's such a large pasture with, and it's really rough. It's really rough break, so the water development's going to be difficult, and then also the fencing's going to be difficult. But I've been scheming on ways to do that fencing. I'm looking at all some other options and trying to figure it out. But anyway, I would like to divide that pasture up where I could even rotate them through there. Even though it is dormant season grazing, I'd like to still be able to move them around in there a little bit.
Are you guys feeding any hay out on that dormant season pasture?
A little bit. You know, when it gets tough, you know, we'll feed some if snow gets real big, and then we'll feed some through calving a little bit. We try to keep them a little more bunched up, and I don't think it's a full feed, and we try to run them out on grass mostly.
Just supplementing them with the hay then, right?
Yep, just a little bit.
Is that hay that you guys are putting up there on the place then?
Yep.
What is it, grass, alfalfa? What kind of hay are you putting up?
Oh, we got a little of both. We got about 600 acres of hay ground. I put up 200 acres of alfalfa, 200 acres of grass, and then it's kind of tame grass. And then a couple hundred acres of an annual crop, such as like oats and barley. That's what we planted this year, a combination of oats and barley. We've done oats and peas, millet, just kind of a combination, things like that. Just kind of an annual crop. And the reason that's part of my rotation is I use a couple of different things in back into the cropping thing, and just try to clean up my ground, get some of the cheatgrass and that kind of stuff cleared out of the fields, and then plant, and then go back into them with alfalfa. Just as part of my crop rotation.
On that annual crops that you're planting in, or is that where you're doing some of your cover crops? Or you mentioned crops in the video.
Yep, absolutely. We try to, if I get a crop off of there in time to plant another crop, I always do, and with hopes of a little, well, again, soil health aspect, and then if I get a little bit of growth or a lot of growth, whatever, I will use livestock on that as well, just to give my native pastures some rest by grazing on those cover crops.
When would you graze those?
It'll be late fall, you know, October, November time frame. You know, this year my cover crops didn't come up very good. We kind of hit another dry spell right there in August, right about the time I planted those, and I think I droughted them out, and I just didn't get a very good stand on them. So I did turn cows into them for about 2 or 3 days, and they were pretty well gone, and now they're out on that winter pasture on the, you know, the big winter pasture.
You mentioned your calving, grazing through your calving season pretty much, and feeding a little supplemental hay. So when are you guys calving?
Late March, or most of them are born in April. We start about the 25th of March, and then through April. That's working pretty good. I know I've been kicking the idea around and backing that up a little bit more, trying to start in the middle of April or something, and line that up. I think that would work good the way we're doing things on this grazing, these winter stockpiled winter forages, you know, winter grasses, and I think those, what we're given in hay, that little supplement we're given, they would probably get in some green up on the grass, and so we may try to shift that in the next few years, but it's been talked about and thought about quite a bit.
That's pretty good though, that you're able to graze through, you know, with that calving season. That's a good deal. What kind of weather do you guys deal with there? I got listeners from Texas to Canada, so there's going to be some people that are raising their eyebrows in both directions.
Sure. Well, you know, last year, the drought, our summer deals, we had, I don't know how many, let's say a couple hundred, or I mean a couple weeks at least, maybe even a month, you might even know how many consecutive days of 100 degrees plus temperatures. It was a hot, dry one, and then I don't know. Winter times can get pretty cold. We get down into the below 20s some days, but I would say on average, we stay around between 0 and 20 degrees above is our average temperature probably through the winter. As far as snowfall, we'll get a pretty good little snow once in a while, and then it will kind of warm up in the we'll get a warm spell in the winter and it'll melt that snow off, so we don't just get covered up with snow unless it's a kind of a nasty storm, but usually it'll be gone within 2 to 3 weeks anyway, so most of the time. Then say that, and then this winter it'll probably start snowing here tomorrow and not quit.
Yeah, my dad says that right here in Belle Fouche around the Black Hills that we kind of have a little bit of a banana belt going with the Black Hills breaking up some of our weather. So I think it is a little different than out where you're at. I think you guys do get some of the more extreme heat or sustained extreme heat than we do. And I know you lived in Belle Fouche for quite a few years, so you're yep. aware of you're aware of how that goes as well. So. Yep.
Yeah, it's not too different, but a little bit different out here on the prairie. So
I've done some work south of the interstate, and I know they get long, extended heat spells down there.
The heat's the one that's a tough one. We can handle a little bit of a little drought in the wintertime ain't the worst thing, but I don't know. I don't like drought anytime, but them summer droughts are really difficult, so.
Sure. And what's the heat is hard on you, hard on cows? What is that?
Oh, yeah, hard on grass. I mean, that grass ain't growing, and that's the worst, I think. I don't know if it's so much the heat or the moisture, but we ain't growing grass. It's hurting our operation.
Yeah, and that's one thing I really appreciated about the video that the South Dakota Grassland Coalition put together on featuring your ranch is the attention to grass and the fact that you guys are making all your decisions based on what's best for the grass. And so you mentioned destocking in the video and sending them out, and then again destocking even this year, even though we were a little wetter in this spring and summer, early summer. You mentioned destocking this year just to give that grass that was pushed a little bit last year even more opportunity to recover.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing last year is we never made a bale of hay. All of our hay ground was used as pasture. We rotated our cows through all those, and just to give our native pastures the chance to recover or to grow any amount of growth they could, you know. But the lack of moisture just made it extremely difficult. I don't know, last year was as bad a drought as I've ever been in. I probably haven't been in the business as long as most, but that was a tough one.
So then did you guys buy in all your hay, or did you have some hay that you had left over that you were able to use?
Well, we ended up getting into that big winter pasture I was telling you about. We got into that a little earlier than we wanted to last year. We were probably in it in August last year, just because we were out of grass everywhere else. And we ended up taking all the cows off the ranch and going down to corn stalks in Nebraska is how we wintered. I did a bunch of math trying to figure out what was going to be my best way to winter them cows. And I think that was going to be the cheapest thing I could do. So we sent them all down there and let what good it does. We dormant season rested our entire place, and then brought them cows back at calving time and started the end. So we did save one, kind of our saving grace. Actually, we saved one hay field that we typically, it's down close to that big winter pasture that it's a western wheatgrass meadow that's 100 acres. And we held the cows out of that all through the drought and all through the, you know, and then when we brought them back from corn stalks in Nebraska, we let them have that, and it was it's our saving grace, because we didn't have any grass anywhere else, but them cows went right to it and did pretty good. So we were feeding a little bit of hay too that we did have to buy, but for the most part we wintered out.
Very good. You've mentioned a couple of different times the math that you guys are doing, trying to figure out what's going to be best economically, what's going to be best for the grass, how long you're going to spend out on a pasture and different things like that. Where have you gone to gain the expertise and the knowledge and how to do that math and where to be at what time?
I'm always reading reading like publications from the colleges and all their, I've got different spreadsheets from every different college around, and I'm just kind of maybe kind of a data nerd, and I like to look these things over all the time. I don't know. I guess I can't think of just the one place in particular, but I know I've got some stuff from SDSU and from Kansas and Nebraska, all over the place, and then I know some of them. I kind of study their math and how they do it, and then I'll tweak them a little bit. And I've made several spreadsheets of my own, and so I guess I don't know. Anywhere I can get it, I guess, is the answer to that question. Anywhere I can find a cool spreadsheet, I'll use it and I'll start playing with it and try to make it work for my operation, I guess.
Well, it sounds like you got to wherever you were headed. So I've just got a couple of questions that I like to ask all of the featured producers as we look towards wrapping up. I really appreciate your time here as you were out on the road headed to run for town. So the first question I wanted to ask is what kind of resources have been helpful to you guys in setting out these plans and the different things that you guys have been or maybe just to be more blunt about it, how has the South Dakota Grassland Coalition been a resource for you guys over the years?
Yeah, absolutely. That was where I was going to say. They've done a lot of help with me. Even just some, you know, they do a little bit of one-on-one stuff where they'll come out and do some helping you with planning and that kind of stuff. But also, they're constantly have a every month I get an email from them that saying there's some keynote speaker from anywhere, some good speakers that come from a long ways away, Canada. They had a guy from South Africa, Ian Mitchell, I think, and there's just always have a new individual with a new perspective and, you know, attending those, and they move them around. Sometimes they're right in your backyard, and it's just kind of really nice to be able to have those guys as a resource to learn from different people and different scenarios, I guess. And then I guess at the same time, they also do some pasture tours all the time with different people, which is a great going, you know, just going up to Union Center and visiting with Gary Kamak and seeing how he does things, and then going to Chamberlain and visiting with Charlie Totten or something. You know, they just got all kinds of different producers all across the state with, you know, that have done well with these types of grazing systems, and then you can go and see what they're doing and pick their brain a little bit too.
And what did it mean to your family to be featured in the 2018 South Dakota Grassland Coalition Grassland Planner?
Oh, it was a great experience. We really enjoyed it. You know, I'm got a young family there. You can see in the video, I got a young son, and we've got a couple of little girls now too since then. And it was a great experience. I know my dad really enjoyed telling our story, and you know, the family is a huge deal for our family, I guess. My dad takes a lot of pride in this family operation. You know, this is, I'm fourth generation and my son will be fifth, and it's just, if he's interested in it, and that means a lot to my dad, and it means a lot to me too. You know, it's a great thing that my ancestors have what they've done, and to allow me to be at this point that I'm at, and I just hope I can do the same for my generations beyond me.
Kyle, I really appreciate your time today. Very, very good stuff. Very applicable and stuff that people can take and implement on their operation, and just seeing the benefits of a different way of thinking and grazing and all those things that you guys are doing there. So thanks for your time today. I don't want to hold you up anymore from progress, but I appreciate you taking some time out on the road today to sit down and talk with me.
You bet. I'm glad I could do it. It was a lot of fun.
If you want to grab any of the stuff that Kyle mentioned today on the show, show notes page for today's episode will be workingcows.net/59, workingcows.net/59. There will be a link to the South Dakota Grassland Coalition's video, our amazing grasslands video for this ranch that's been featured on there. So head over to workingcows.net/59 to grab that. Kyle, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Really appreciate Kyle joining me out on the road and talking to me from the seat of his pickup as he was headed to town to get some parts for a water project. So thankful that he was willing to take time out of his day to do that with me, and really looking forward to continuing these bonus episodes. So keep looking out for those when they get dropped. If I have time to record and edit one, I might not have time to announce it before I put it out. So just keep your eyes peeled. Make sure you don't miss any episodes by going to workingcows.net/subscribe. You can subscribe on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever you like to go to get your podcasts. If you go to workingcows.net/subscribe, there will be a link there to get your to subscribe to the podcast there. So we'll see you next week for that corn-fed, grass-fed discussion, and really looking forward to that. So we'll see you on Monday with a new episode of the Working Cows Podcast.
We invite you to visit workingcows.net to subscribe to the show via iTunes or Stitcher. You'll also find detailed show notes pages, resources from our guests, and the industry leaders who have influenced them. For more ideas on putting your cows to work for you in a more profitable way, tune in next week.